Hello, folks. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, I ask for your anointing today to get out this message of unmasking Satan's ministers. And Father, we thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that people are going to be blessed by it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right, that's what I want to talk about is unmasking Satan's ministers. You know, how are we going to know who are God's shepherds and those that are Satan's shepherds? You know, most Christians don't even realize that Satan has ministers behind the pulpits, that they're teaching false doctrine. But it's true, you know. Because we're warned about it all through the scriptures, all through the word of God. Jude chapter 3 says, "Beloved, while I was given all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Here we're warned in this particular scripture to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Why was that warning given? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there are those who have already crept in privily to the church. Now, that Greek word is perasduno, which means to settle in alongside, lodge stealthily, creep in unaware. So here we're warned that men, that's pastors and ministers, are going to creep in unnoticed. And they're going to settle in alongside the church, and they're going to lodge stealthily without even anyone noticing it. Well, you ask yourself, well, how could that be? How could we not notice somebody that the Bible calls ungodly and under condemnation who would be standing in our pulpits? You know, you'd think they'd be obvious and that they'd be easy to spot. Well, do you remember when Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees"? And then Paul said to the Corinthians, "Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" He told us to purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. So here we have Jesus and Paul both were talking about false doctrine and false teaching that leads to sin. So we need to remember that. And we need to remember well, that Satan never comes to you with horns. You know, he ain't going to be showing up with a big old red pony tail, because he never has and he never will. When the devil comes to deceive God's people, it's a whole lot more subtle than that. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 says, "For such men are false apostles, they're deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ." And then verse 14, "And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness." Well, there you go. Satan disguises himself, don't he? He disguises himself just like an angel of light. And it shouldn't be a surprise at all to any of us that his ministers also fashion themselves into ministers of righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. Without the Word of God deeply ingrained into your heart, you're never going to be able to stand the wiles of the devil, because he does. He comes as an angel of light, and he sends his ministers of righteousness. And they come with a big old grin on their face, and they come with smooth words, and they speak scripture from the Holy Bible. And they even use the name of Jesus. Now, you might think we're not talking about Bible teachers or pastors that we know. And of course, we're not talking about the church that we attend, are we? Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and start to unmask Satan's tactics in which his ministers of righteousness use to deceive God's people. Now, if you can see the false doctrines that the devil uses to deceive, then you're going to be able to clearly see who God's true ministers are compared to Satan's false ones. And we're going to look at the Bible as our rock and our foundation. You ever heard that term, God loves everybody? Yeah, have you ever heard pastors telling you, everybody, God loves everybody? It don't make any difference what you do. God loves you. And you hear that God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Have you ever heard that? I have many times. Is that what the Bible teaches? Or is that a doctrine of demons? Psalms 5, verse 5. It says, the arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. You see there? God hates all workers of iniquity. Well, is that line up with the other scriptures in the Bible? Let's see. Psalms 11 and 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Well, it sounds like God doesn't not only hate the sin, but he hates the sinner as well. And all workers of iniquity is what it says. And some of you saying right now, well, that's Old Testament teaching. God loves, Jesus loves everybody. Well, the scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it's true in the Old Testament, we ought to be able to find it in the New Testament too, right? Well, let's look at John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Who's going to be loved by God? Who's going to be loved by Jesus? It's those that keep his commandments. Well, you'd have to ask yourself, would it also be true that you won't be loved by the Father if you don't keep his commandments? Well, I think so. Otherwise, Jesus would have made just a complete blank statement that God loves everybody. But you know what? Jesus was very specific to say that only if you keep his commandments do you love him, and then you will be loved by his Father. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Did you notice how this is a conditional statement? That if you love Jesus and you're keeping his commandments, then you're going to be loved by God. And the truth is, nowhere in scriptures do we find that God loves everybody. You ain't going to be able to find it. It ain't there. What you find is that God's love is conditional upon keeping his word. You know what happens if you don't keep Jesus' commandments? Then you don't love Jesus, and you're not going to be loved by the Father. It sounds like Jesus is saying the same thing as God did in the Psalms. Now, many's going to say that John 3:16, you ever heard this? God loves the whole world. Well, if you read it in context, you're going to find out that it's only those in the world who believe in him that Jesus loves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And over in John chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto his Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Well, Jesus didn't love the whole world. He only loved those that were his own that were in the world. And that's why Jesus didn't even pray for the whole world, but only those who were his in the world. Look at John 17, verses 8 and 9. For the words which you gave me, I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You get that? I pray not for the world, for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. So if God loved everybody, wouldn't Jesus have been praying for everybody in the world instead of just those who believe? Why is this important and why is it so dangerous? Well, instead of preaching repentance, holiness, and following God's word, all you hear is love, love, love. You hear how much God loves you and how he loves you no matter what. Yeah, love's a big part of God's nature. But you know God expects holiness too. There ain't going to be no sin in heaven. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if you're always hearing that God loves you and it's okay that we all sin and we all fall short of what God wants for us, then what's going to motivate you to holiness? How often do you hear this? 1 John 3 verses 7 through 9 says, my little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten of God does no sin, because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is begotten of God. You know, holiness and fear of the Lord is not preached today. Satan's ministers of righteousness, okay, tell you it's all right because God loves you. We're all sinners. But you know what? The Bible tells us something else, don't it? God loves the righteous and he hates the wicked. And they're going to be lost forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there you have it. Those unrighteous are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they're going to spend eternity in hell. Just a revelation here, folks. And I ask you again, does God really love everybody? Does he really love the sinner while hating just the sin? That is a complete doctrine of demons to make somebody comfortable in their sin. The Bible says we're not supposed to be comfortable in our sin. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2 and 12. Holiness is an essential key to entering heaven. And you know what? Satan and his preachers and ministers, they don't want you to know that. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification or holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You know what? While Satan's ministers tell you that it's okay, God loves you. The Bible says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Would you rather hear the hard truth now, before you die, that God does not love everybody, but only those who obey him? Or had you rather be standing in front of the Lord on Judgment Day and find out that your pastor lied to you and he gave you the wrong message? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So if you hear your minister telling you that God loves everybody, you've been fooled by one of the devil's ministers of righteousness, because that doctrine is contrary to the Word of God. And if he or she is preaching that God loves everybody, that's lies straight from the devil's mouth. If God really loves everybody unconditionally, have your preacher or your pastor explain about all the ifs that we see in Scripture, all the conditions that we see in Scripture. John 15 and 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you." You know, there's always two sides to that word of if. And one is being in the Lord's love, and the other is not. God don't love everybody, and Scripture is very clear that there are requirements to be loved by God and to abide in Jesus' love. There are requirements and conditions if you want to be called a friend to Jesus. You know what? Only his friends are going to enter the gates of heaven. Okay. What about false grace? Do you hear your pastors speak about the grace and the forgiveness of the cross while you don't hear much about holiness and repentance? And instead of preaching against sin and putting it out of the church, they say that God loves everybody and that we're all accepted and that you're forgiven by God's grace. Jude chapter 3, "Beloved, while I was given all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in privily, even they who were of old written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." The Greek word for lasciviousness is aselgia, which means licentious absence of restraint or indecency. And it seems today the underlying theme of what you hear preached is that you're forgiven. It don't make any difference what you do, and that God loves you, and that you ought not to try to sin, but it's okay if you fail and you go ahead and sin, because Jesus died on the cross for us and he covered all our sin. And you hear that we're all sinners and we'll always be sinners, and that we don't have any hope in being holy. Well, how many of you know this is not the gospel of Jesus? And if they're not preaching holiness, then that, my friend, is turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, or the absence of restraint. What they're saying is you can't be holy, so be forgiven. Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, 1 John 3 and 3, let's see. "And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Everyone that does sin does also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So here we're specifically warned not to let anybody lead us astray. And that if we're sinning, that we are of the devil. Could it just be the devil's ministers of righteousness that are teaching this contrary doctrine of easy grace, greasy grace, and the absence of holiness? You know, we always hear pastors preaching on the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus, while they leave out what the Apostle John preached. Everyone that hath his hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What you hearing from your preacher? That we're all sinners, that we're all saved by grace, and that we're forgiven? Or does he preach we've got to purify ourselves and we've got to be holy, just like Jesus is holy? So which one of those are you hearing? You know, the Apostle John says that Jesus came to take away sin, and that whoever is abiding in Jesus sins not. Is that preached in your church today? If your pastor is preaching about the grace and forgiveness all the time, how can they be preaching what the Word of God says? It says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. You know, that's hard stuff. And so can you see why a long time ago some didn't like that holiness preached? And so they tweaked it a little here, and they tweaked it a little bit over there. They took a word out here. They took a word out there. And now we have what we have today in our apostate churches. What I just read, John goes on to say after he says, he that doeth sin is of the devil. You know, aren't we taught by our pastors that he that doeth sin is forgiven all the time, anytime? That's that grace. That's that greasy grace and more grace, greasy grace. The Bible says that he who sins is of the devil. And that's a whole long way from all the loving and all the grace, from everything, doctrine that we hear so often. You might say, maybe you're taking one scripture out of context. Maybe you ought to get you another witness. Okay, we'll do that. Look at 2 Peter 3, verses 11, verses 14, and verses 17. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness? 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that ye may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in his sight. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest, being carried away with the error of the wicked, ye fall from your own steadfastness. So here we're supposed to live holy and godly lives, and we're not to be carried away with wicked men that teach these false doctrines of lawlessness under the disguise of grace. What would it look like to being carried away with the error of the wicked? It's going to look just like a minister that preaches only grace and forgiveness of sins instead of what Peter preached. And that was to be in all holy living and godliness. Live holy and godly lives. It says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Because you see, being carried away by the doctrines of lawless men, those are Satan's ministers of righteousness. They excuse sin. They say it's okay if you're living in sin, that you're forgiven. How many of you know that was Satan's original lie to Eve? Look at Genesis 3, 2 through 5. And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows, does know, that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, y'all see how slick Satan was in that original lie, and it's being used right now by his ministers. They come to you as ministers of righteousness. They preach, it's okay to sin. Just go ahead and try harder next time. You ain't going to go to hell. You're forgiven. Because God loves us, now we got grace. It's the same lie that Satan told Eve in the garden. And now he's got his ministers of righteousness telling y'all the same thing, telling the same old lie. Instead of Eve being the one that's deceived, it's y'all. It's you and I, right? You know, this is a real serious deception that's going on in our churches today. But you got to know that God's word is very clear that whoever abides in Jesus sins not. Whoever sins has not seen Jesus or known Jesus. And he who does sin is of the devil. And this is why it says in Hebrews 12 and 14, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification or holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know why? Because without holiness, ain't nobody going to see the Lord. Okay? And I'm real confident that most of the pastors that don't preach the Bible, which is holiness and repentance, don't even know that they're Satan's ministers. And if they're preaching contrary teachings to God's word, they don't know it. But, and they don't even know that they're the devil's unknowing accomplices. They've gone on to Bible college, and they've learned what they've been taught, and they've been taught by men what to believe and what not to believe, instead of studying the word of God for themselves and letting the Holy Spirit teach them. And instead of waiting for the Lord to call them for, they're stepping out of the Lord's will, and they're ignoring the scriptures, and they're following man's rules and what they say that it takes to become a minister of God. You know, the only one we read about who went to Bible college was Saul, and he later became the Apostle Paul. And then he had to be re-educated by the Holy Spirit in order to do the Lord's work. You know, ministers today, preachers today, have been deceived by man's teaching instead of the Holy Spirit teaching them. And that's why that they've become Satan ministers doing his bidding. They think they're working for the Lord when they're really working for Satan. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Well, how did Jesus walk? Did he walk in holiness, or did he walk in sin? How about when we deliberately sin? What happens then when we just go ahead and say, well, I'm going to go ahead and sin anyway because I know God's covering is going to help us? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, 26, 27, and 29. It says this, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and the fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And then verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, think you, shall he be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? You know, a lot of pastors that teach that it's all right to live the way you want to, without holiness, they're teaching lasciviousness or a life without restraint, and that God goes ahead and he accepts and forgives you even if you're living in sin. Brothers and sisters, there ain't nothing that could be further from the truth. All they're doing is comforting them to the gates of hell. Now, let's not take what I'm saying out of context. There is forgiveness because of what Christ did on the cross. But here's what is taught in the scriptures about forgiveness, okay? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation or covering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if, there's a condition, we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word in him, verily has the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Forgiveness is for when we mess up. But the scriptures clearly teach that we must keep the commandments and walk as Jesus walked. And that's just a little portion, a little taste of what scriptures say about holiness and what Jesus and the apostles originally taught. There's a whole lot more scriptures than these. But I pray that you have a little more understanding of what one of the wolves in sheep's of clothing might look like in the dangerous times that we're in right now. What about 10% tithing and the prosperity gospel? Well, how many of you hear pastors that are preaching that you got to give your 10% tithe to the church according to the Bible, or that the more you sow into their ministry, the more you're going to prosper? Well, the question is that what Jesus really teaches? Luke 14:33. Let's see what that says. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has, all that he has, cannot be my disciple. Does really Jesus say that? That we got to renounce everything that we got? What do we have to give up? Do we have to give up 10%, or do we have to give up everything? We have to give up all, it says, that we have. Now, let's go ahead and look at the Greek word Jesus uses when he says to renounce all. That word is a parasoma, which means to literally, to say adieu by departing or dismissing. Figuratively, to renounce, bid farewell, forsake, take leave, send away. So, what does all leave out? It don't leave nothing out. And that sounds pretty strict. And that sounds real radical. Maybe I'm taking the scriptures out of context here. Well, let's see if anything else agrees with what I just got through saying out of the Word. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 13:1, at the mouth of two witnesses or three shall every word be established. Let's look at Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? You can't find one scripture passage in the New Testament where Jesus or his disciples commanded you to keep the tithe of the Old Testament. And what you're going to find is that instead of 10%, we're supposed to give it all to the Lord, even our life. Now, I'm asking, do you ever hear this preached from your ministers today or from your preachers today? Let's look at Mark 10:21-23. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack, go, sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. So, in order to truly follow Jesus and to be his disciple, you have to renounce everything. You have to renounce all. This man was keeping the law and he was giving his tithe. But Jesus here invited that man to be a disciple. He gave that invitation up because of his wealth. He couldn't give up the wealth that he had. Luke chapter 12 and verse 33, it says, sell that which you have and give alms. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief draws near, neither moth destroys. That's what Jesus taught. It ain't the 10% for God and 90% for you. It's everything to God. What would that look like today? Would you have to take a vow of poverty? No. All it means is that instead of a strict 10% going into the offering plate, you'd let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart on where and what to give, and then you'd go ahead and obey. You'd renounce ownership of the money that you've saved, and you'd give to others that are in need while helping where the Lord shows you to help. You do as the Lord speaks to your heart without any restraints, because it's not yours anymore, it's God's. And you'd be the good and the faithful steward of all your goods. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yeah, folks, your faith is dead unless you act on what the Lord places in your hearts to do for others. Whole lot of people out there justify themselves by giving 10% to the church, while the people around them go without. That 10% tithe is part of the Old Testament law, and we're not under that law anymore. Now, the preachers out there, they don't want to tell you that because it's going to cause them to lose money while you give to the poor and needy around you. Oh, he's collecting all that money. You know that prosperity message we hear preached in their pulpits? Do you hear Jesus ever preaching that? Or is it just the ministers of Satan that teach that? Matthew chapter 6, listen to this, verses 19 through 21, says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are you going to find the prosperity message preached in the Bible, especially in the New Covenant or in the New Testament? And if your preacher's preaching sowing seeds to be blessed, you better be careful, because that's not what Jesus taught. What they're in fact teaching is covetousness, which is in its original Greek means desiring more and eager for gain. That's what they're teaching. Instead of giving out of the love in your heart for your fellow brother or sister in need, what they teach is that it's your best life now, and that if you sow a seed into the kingdom, you're going to be blessed and you're going to receive a whole lot more than what you gave. I know all of you have heard that message. Y'all give to my ministry, and it's a good ministry, and God's going to bless you 100-fold over. Y'all ever heard that? I have. Let's see what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 says. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints. Now Paul goes on to warn us two verses later that a person who desires more will not even make it to heaven. Ephesians 5:5, for this ye know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now Paul's calling a covetous person here an idolater, because they've made an idol out of whatever it is they desire, and they put it before they put God. That person's not going to enter heaven. And don't tell me that you can do both, for the scriptures say that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's in Matthew 6:24. Read it. Bottom line is this, is that Jesus not only tells us that we have to give up to serve him, but he also commands us, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. How are you going to sow money into a ministry expecting to prosper and become wealthy when Jesus tells us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth? And then later on, he says that if we do have treasure, we've got to give it all away and renounce it. That prosperity doctrine is one more of Satan's lies that many of his preachers are preaching nowadays. What about we're all sinners saved by grace? Y'all hear any preachers teaching that we're all sinners? And that because of Adam's fall, we're always going to be sinners? I've heard it. You ever heard him say you're a sinner who's saved by grace? Have you ever heard him teach that not only are you a sinner, but you're always going to be a sinner? That there was only one perfect person whose name was Jesus, and that you can never be perfect? Is that what the Word of God teaches us? Or is that what man says? Now, it's real important that we find out the truth, because you might be listening to Satan's preachers of righteousness and not even know it. Remember, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Psalm 1:1-5 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Are you a sinner? If so, you will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. And since you're told that you're a sinner, does that then mean that you're going to be judged with the wicked? And if you're a sinner, you're going to be even separated from Jesus, it says. Hebrews 7:26, for such a high priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Are you still believing what your preacher tells you, that you're still a sinner? The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is separated from sinners. Is Jesus separated from you? You know, the Word of God clearly says that Jesus is holy and he's separated from sinners. John 9:31, we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he hears. And if we're really sinners, like many of Satan's preachers tell us and teach us, why do we go ahead and bother with praying? Because the Bible clearly says that God's not listening to sinners. We're told by Satan's preachers to be satisfied with only God's forgiveness, and that we shouldn't hope for deliverance from the sin itself. But I'm here to tell you the real good news is that Jesus made us free from sin, praise God. Romans 6:17, 18, 22, and 23 says, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Verse 22, and now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And since our old man, that old sinner man, was crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Yeah, brothers and sisters, we can reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, praise God. Verse 11, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So here he's telling us, we're not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. You know, since these preachers of righteousness don't have any hope themselves to be holy, they teach that convenient doctrine that permits them to live just like they want to, in sin, confessing Christ. What an abomination to Christ that is. Isaiah 29:13, and the Lord said, for as much as this people draw nigh unto me, and with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of is a commandment of men which hath been taught them. There it is. We've been taught lies, straight from the devil's mouth, that we're just forgiven, and that we don't have any hope to be delivered from sin itself. That only Jesus, when he walked on earth, was able to accomplish that. And you don't find that anywhere in Scripture. In the Scriptures, just like it was in the Scriptures, but you were servants of sin. Now that you're saved, you have been made free from sin. And that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. That's the true gospel. That's the real good news. It's Jesus who now lives in you. And if it's Jesus in us, then we're not sinners anymore. Then Jesus was a sinner. You see that? Now, let's take a look at some more scriptures to prove the gospel message that we're no longer sinners. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We ain't only forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. He made that exchange on the cross. Your body for his. And that's why by faith in Jesus, we have died unto sin. It ain't no longer me that lives, but it's Christ in me. He said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Now that's the true gospel right there, that the devil's preachers of righteousness don't want you to understand. Because it's the power of God unto everyone who believes, it says in Romans 1:16. 1 John 3:5-6 says, and you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sins not. And whosoever sins hath not seen him, neither knows him. What does it mean to take away sins? Is it just a past sin, or is it a future sin too? Well, the answer is in the scriptures that we just read. Remember, the gospel is Christ crucified, Christ living in you, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either sinned him or know him. So if Jesus takes away sin, then that's not only past sins, but that's present and future as well. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And to this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we're warned not to be deceived. But you know what? Most of the people out Christian world out there have been deceived by those false teaching that you're a sinner saved by grace. That's a false gospel. It's unfounded in Scripture, and it's taught by Satan through his preachers of righteousness. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And what a better way to destroy the works of the devil than to do away with sin, just like the Bible teaches, praise God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Whosoever is begotten of God does no sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God." You know, a lot of believers out there get a false sense of eternal security by teaching we're all sinners and that you're always going to be a sinner. But God clearly teaches holiness and sanctification throughout the Scriptures. While the devil's preachers preach that we're all sinners and God's grace and forgiveness is always going to cover us, they preach that it's okay to live the way you want because God loves you and forgives you. And that's a lie straight from the devil, because the real gospel is that Jesus took our sin, and that's God working in you and manifesting his nature in you. And the more holiness you manifest, the less forgiveness you're going to need. The Scripture says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. So stop adding to God's word and just go ahead and believe what it says. Or you're going to fail of the grace of God, because without holiness, you will not see the Lord, is what the word says. 1 John 5 and 18. "We know that whosoever is begotten of God sins not." There it is. "But he that was begotten of God keeps himself, and the evil one touches him not." I hope you understand what that's saying. This is how we don't sin. Jesus, who was born of God, keeps us from sinning. The Jesus in you keeps you from sinning, and the devil can't touch you unless you allow it. And it ain't you, and it's not your ability that keeps you from sinning. It's God's power in you by faith that does it in you. If you don't have faith in the power of God to keep you from sin, then you're denying the real gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're always going to be in bondage to sin. Amen? In other words, you're going to be a liar. You're going to be a sinner. The real gospel is that through faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross, he made an exchange. His righteousness for your sinfulness. He became a sin for us. And it ain't no longer us that live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And if by faith you believe it's Jesus and not your old nasty self who lives in you, then by faith, which is the things hoped for, the evidence not seen, in Hebrews 11 and 1, Jesus cannot sin, and nor can you. So by faith we manifest Christ in us until we're made perfect. The believer is accounted perfect by faith. He claims that perfection by faith. Hebrews 10 and 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And as the believer walks in this faith, God is able to manifest perfection in him. God is using the believer's faith to accomplish this very thing. And if the unbelieving preachers of the devil teaches you that as a Christian you're always going to be a sinner, contrary to God's word, then you're going to be exactly that, a sinner. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them." So if you ask the Lord to take your sinful nature away from you, and make you more like Him, God's going to use your faith and His power to do it in you. And if you believe you're a sinner and that you'll always be a sinner, then that's exactly what you'll be, is a sinner. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Now, the same thing can be said of sanctification or holiness. Do you have the faith to believe that you can be holy? Do you believe you can be perfect in Christ? Like it says in Matthew 5:48, therefore ye shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if Jesus commands us to be perfect, just like our Father is perfect, why do our preachers tell us we have no hope of being perfect? That is a false doctrine that steals faith away from the believers. And if we're taught to believe we can't be holy, then the devil has succeeded. Because as we believe, it's going to be done unto us. And Matthew 8:13 says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And if we believe Satan's pastors and preachers and ministers of righteousness rather than God himself, we're going to miss that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil has succeeded in stealing your faith for being holy. And you're going to live a life of sinfulness. Philippians 3:12-15 says, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I could not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. So we're not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners who are now saints that are saved by grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. So if you're born again, you're a new creature, a new creation, made in the image of Jesus. And with Jesus in you, you are not a sinner anymore. Just as you were before, you are saved and you're not a sinner anymore. 61 times in the New Testament, believers are called saints, while not once is a believer called a sinner. So we need to believe what the Bible says instead of Satan's preachers that he's planted amongst all the churches, amongst most of the churches. Well, God bless you, saints. I'm out of time now. And we'll see you next time, God willing.